Cox Internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. It's the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data Q3 2022 in Cox serviceable areas. Learn more at cox.com/internet.
Ugh, another pointless video call where nothing gets done. I think you're on mute, David.
Sorry. What did I miss?
IT just approved Miro for the whole company.
Miro? That's the...
online whiteboard. For team collaboration, we can make these long video meetings so much shorter with Miro boards. We can share ideas, feedback, and updates on them whenever. Actually see what we're talking about.
It's all online.
Miro will make our flexible work setup so much easier. With one virtual space for our brainstorms, projects, presentations.
Oh, that sounds kind of amazing. So I don't need to wake up for 6 a.m. calls with the London office anymore.
Now you're getting it.
Don't let time zones get in the way of your team working well together. See why 99% of the Fortune 100 trust Miro to get good work done from anywhere. Get your first three boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nicole Higgins. Nicole is a personal trainer and a fitness professional from Fresno, California. On the program, we discuss her upbringing, also her fitness journey, how often she trains, what her diet consists of, becoming a licensed personal trainer, and much more. Nicole is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
/145/92
/180/111
/182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Fitness is a part of everyone's life. No matter how you achieve it, whether it be through lifting weights, whether it be through dancing, walking, aerobics, however you get it done, fitness is an important part of someone's everyday life. And someone that has taken advantage of the fitness lifestyle and has taken it to the next level being involved in the world of fitness is someone that hails from the West Coast, and we're going to talk to her about how often she trains, also some other things that we want to ask her. Let's welcome her to the program. She is a fitness professional and also a personal trainer as well, Nicole Higgins. Nicole, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So every story has a beginning. Your beginning started off in Fresno, California. So what was your upbringing like growing up in Fresno?
I grew up in Fresno. It was good. You know, when I was younger, I was always involved in sports. My dad would always push me in track and in basketball. So those are the two sports that I did when I was younger. It was a good upbringing. He was very athletic, so he gave me those different goals and things to push towards. Like I said, I played basketball and track, but I had stopped my sophomore year because I had to deal with the ACL injury where I had surgery. So I didn't do any type of athletics from there until when I started doing bodybuilding, which was age 38. So it was a long time in between.
All right, awesome. We're going to get more into detail about that in just a little bit, but I want to stay with Fresno for a moment. When people think of California, they think of the major cities like Los Angeles and San Diego and San Francisco and also Oakland as well. But for those that have never been to Fresno, I've never heard of Fresno, what are some of the things that you tell them about Fresno?
Well, Fresno, we're in the valley. So we're basically almost in the middle of California, and we're a valley. There's a lot of agriculture, although they have built up over the past few years. There's a lot of agriculture, but we're a valley. So we're not by water, but we're right in the middle. So it's an easy drive to the beach or to the ocean, to either L.A. or to San Francisco. But we're right in the middle. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not, you know, what people see on TV as California, because it's not the surfing and the all that. It's almond trees and agriculture. So that's Fresno. Yeah.
You mentioned about Fresno being abundant in agriculture. Well, California, the state as a whole, is very rich in agriculture. You mentioned about almond trees being present in Fresno, but I know California is not only big with almonds, but also California is a big producer of raisins, avocados, and also strawberries. Do a lot of those crops come from that area or another area in California?
I would say raisins, yes. We do have more of the nuts. We have fruits. So we do have in the Central Valley, right, in Fresno County and in Tulare County, they have like the biggest World Ag Expo, you know, where they're selling the tractors and the, it's a lot of farmland and a lot of farming. So yes, there are a lot of different crops that we produce here. And yeah, we're not, like I said, we're not, you know, like LA area or San Francisco Bay Area, San Jose. We're a little bit different in that agriculture. And I believe we produce more of that agriculture besides the vineyards. So when you go to like Napa Valley and that sort of thing where they have wine country, that's up north. But yeah, we're right in the center.
Thank you again for explaining that to our listeners out there. And you mentioned about you played a lot of basketball and you also ran track, but you wind up tearing your ACL, and that's, we're going to segue to the next thing I want to talk about, your fitness journey. So how did your fitness journey begin?
So, like I said, there was a long time where I did not really work out. And when I say really work out, I was always a person who was thin. I was always muscular naturally. So at home, you know, I'd do my push-ups and my jumping jacks and my sit-ups. I had a little routine like that, but I wasn't one that went to the gym. It wasn't until 2013 when my husband and I started going to a trainer, and I was reluctant. He was like, I want to go work out. You know, will you come with me? And I said, okay, to support him. And we went to the trainer, and like the second day, the trainer was like, have you thought about competing? And I was like, no. And he was like, you need to think about competing. He saw that I was naturally vascular and muscular, although at that time I was weaker because I didn't lift weights. So that's kind of how it started. And I did my research, talked to different people, and then decided to compete. And my first competition was in 2014.
Wow, that's a I want to ask you, I mean, that was certainly, you know, of course, from your husband saying that he had to go to the gym and wanted to go work out, and then you wound up going along with him just to, you know, go along with him. And then it was just from the advice from a trainer just looking at you and saying that you had the potential. And I want to ask you, for your first show that you prepared for, that you trained for, I should say, in 2014, what was that process like, and how many weeks did it take?
So I started training, it was probably around September of 2013, and the show was April of 2014. So, you know, I was lifting, you know, trying to prepare and get ready, and going through the posing, trying to learn the posing, which was something that was difficult in the beginning. I didn't quite get the concept of what the judges were looking for, so that was challenging for me. And then, you know, the diet. So you do your 12 weeks of your cut or your prep. And so I had a nutritionist, who I still have now, who helped me with that portion of it as well. So it was probably a good maybe 6-7 months total.
Okay, that's pretty good, fascinating, right? All things considered, this was your first time preparing for something like this. And I want to stay just with the preparation for a competition like this. What was more of a challenge, preparing for a competition or playing basketball and running track?
I would say preparing for a competition. You know, I'm an athlete, so I've always been an athlete, and I have a competitor mindset. So the thing that attracted me to competing was the mental challenge, pushing myself, pushing my body, mentally overcoming different things in order to get to an end goal. And it just took me back to basketball and track. So it was that competitive spirit, but also it's the challenge that pushes me. So that challenge is, you know, it's mental. Part of the challenge was, you know, like I said, I had ACL surgery way back in high school, but it prevented me from doing certain things when I started to prep for the first show, because it wasn't 100% back to normal. So that was a challenge as well. So I think that's what it was. It wasn't, you know, one was different than the other in terms of which one was harder. I think it's just, you know, when you have that competitive nature, that came back to me. And competing, there's so many more aspects to it than playing basketball or running track. There's so many different parts that you have to put together in order to have a good package. And then mentally you have to be prepared. So competing for sure was more difficult, but that's what I loved about it.
Well, definitely, you were definitely up for the challenge and preparing for your first competition. May I ask you, what place did you take in your first competition?
Yes. So I did the Fresno Classic, and that was in April of 2014, and I placed third place.
Wow.
You know, I was really nervous, really, really nervous getting on stage the first time. Like I said, my posing wasn't the best, and I think that was a big part of that third place. But I was kind of hooked in terms of wanting to get better and improve and get a better placing. After that competition, though, it was an MPC competition, which is the amateur league to the IFBB Pro, and that is not a natural competition. After that competition, I decided to do natural shows. So the natural shows are drug tested, and I did quite a few of those after my first competition. And I did that for until I became pro in the natural And then I did the World Championships in 2017, and I won the Natural World Championships. And then from there, I decided to do NPC again in order to try to become an IFBB pro.
Wow, that's fascinating. You definitely have done a lot in your career in such a short amount of time. And I want to just stay with what you said about natural shows and non-natural shows. Have you ever competed in non-natural shows? And if so, what were the differences? I know you mentioned that natural shows are drug tested, but in your opinion, what were just the differences, if you could go more into detail about the differences between natural shows and non-natural shows? And have you ever competed in non-natural shows?
Yes, I have. So the first show that I did, the NPC Fresno Classic show, was a non-natural show. Once I decided, after I became world champion for the natural pro show, I went to a show. I had clients in a show in San Jose that next year, and they had my class, which was women's physique, and that's the class that I compete in, and they had the IFBB pro. So this is the non-natural pro division in my women's physique division. So I actually saw them compete on stage. And once I saw them, I felt like even though I am natural, I could compete with women who enhance their physiques with, you know, other types of drugs and steroids and gear and different things to help them. I felt like when I looked at them that I could be competitive against them. So I decided to go back to the NPC and compete in order to qualify to do a national show in order to get my IFBB pro card. So that's what I did. So in 2019, I did an NPC show. That was my second NPC show. So the first one was when I first started the first competition. And then the second NPC show was in 2019 in November. And then in December, I went to LA and I did the Masters Nationals, which was also an NPC show. And the Masters National is for 35 and over, so people who are older. And I won two of my classes and two pro cards, and that's how I became an IFBB pro. And so that was a part of the goal, you know, to push myself to try to get this IFBB pro card. You know, IFBB pro is the elite of the elite, and I wanted to be one of the best. So that was one of the goals. So when I accomplished that, then it was like, okay, now I have to compete in this pro league where majority of the women, they're, you know, getting help. So they're not natural. And so that mentally, you know, I had a lot of people tell me, oh, you're natural. You're not going to be able to do well. But there's still, you know, that I can do this in my head. So I'm still pushing. I did my IFBB pro debut in May of last year, where I placed sixth place, and then I did a second show in August, and that was a big show. It was the Texas Pro. I didn't place as well at that show, but there were some heavy hitters at that show, several people who placed top in Olympia, which is the biggest and the best in the world, that competition. So there were some people who had placed high in Olympia before that were in that competition. So it was eye-opening, and it was a good learning experience, and it was something that basically, okay, we need to go back to the drawing board. What do we need to fix, you know, that sort of thing. That was that type of experience for me.
Congratulations on earning your pro card. And I want to stay just with, you mentioned about competing with other competitors that are non-natural. I know you always say that you have that competitive edge and always the will to compete, but in the back of your mind, are you looking like, wow, I mean, can I do this or am I able to do this? Do you ever, have you ever had moments like that in the back of your mind where you're like, okay, what am I doing here? I hope this training and everything that I've done, it's going to pay off. Do you ever have moments like that?
Absolutely. You know, there's, especially when, you know, you talk to people and that's the comments that are made. You know, most people believe if they see an IFBB pro, they automatically believe that they're using some type of steroid or gear or something, that they have some type of help. And, you know, I've spoken to people in the industry who have said, oh, yeah, no, if you're not going to use, you're not going to do well. So, yes, it is in the back of my mind. But there's still something in the back of my mind saying, no, you can do this. You know, keep pushing. You can do this. So, and, you know, I don't feel like it's being gullible or naive. I just have a belief that this is something that's possible. So I keep pushing.
Hey, that's how you, hey, that's the right attitude to have, not just in sports, but just anything in life. You just have to keep pushing and just achieve your goals and make sure you do it the right way. And you mentioned about
absolutely.
And you mentioned about the two organizations that you won titles for, with the NPC, which is the organization that you competed in, and then you recently earned your pro card with the IFBB. Can you explain to the listeners what the differences are between the NPC and the IFBB and what they stand for?
Yes. So NPC is the amateur league, and it stands for National Physique Committee. And the NPC, so anyone can compete who's an amateur in NPC. You know, they have a membership, so you pay for your membership card, and then you do your preparation, and you enter into a competition in whichever division you choose to compete in. So that's open to anyone. And you don't have to, like, it can be natural people can compete in it, unnatural people can compete in it. There is no drug testing in NPC. You know, they might have one show that might be, but, and that's going to be, that's the Ben Weider Natural, which is one of the shows that I plan to do as a pro this year. But there's really only that show, I believe, that is drug tested. So NPC, anyone can compete. Now, IFBB, you have to earn your pro card. And the only way to earn your pro card is through the NPC, and you have to win a national show. So they have national shows, several different ones, in different areas of the nation. So you would, you know, enter into a competition, and you would have to win an overall. For most shows, it's an overall win for your division.
Again, congratulations to you on that. I want to get now to just what we talked about earlier, which is the training and what you did to prepare for that first competition. So currently, how often do you train and how many hours and days a week?
So currently, I'm in the off-season right now, so it does change from the off-season to the in-season. Currently, I train 5 to 6 days a week, depending on how my body feels. So I listen to my body. If it needs an extra day of recovery, then I will take an extra day of recovery. And then time-wise, it's going to depend on which body part I'm training. So it could go anywhere from an hour a day to 2.5 hours a day. So like, for instance, chest and triceps will be a shorter workout for me. That's not an area that I need to put as much time into, whereas a leg day is going to be a longer day.
Okay, you mentioned about a leg day normally being the longer day. That's going to go into my next question. I wanted to ask you, what are your favorite body parts to train, and what are your body parts you don't like training?
So I know this is a little bit strange, but there are multiple body parts that I like to train, and legs is the first one. Legs is a big favorite of mine, but I also love to train back and shoulders. And those are the areas that I feel are challenging. They push me, but then also there's something about sculpting, right? So it's kind of like a potter sculpting clay. I enjoy sculpting my body, and those areas are the areas that make the most improvement in my shape. So those three areas are the ones that I enjoy and look forward to training most. Areas that I don't enjoy training that often, there aren't too many areas that, you know, I don't like to train. It's just, you know, certain ones don't need as much attention. And, like, that would be, for me, probably chest. My chest, it grows quickly. And, you know, I have good development there, so I don't put as many hours in for that day. Yeah.
Okay, and then we talked about the training portion of what you currently do, and also another key element of training is nutrition. What does your diet consist of?
So right now, I'm in a bulking phase, so I'm trying to build more muscle, and I'm eating 6 meals a day. So, you know, 6 meals seems like a lot of food, but, you know, my portion sizes aren't very big. So it's, you know, my calories aren't as high as somebody who would eat a 2,000 calorie diet, you know, going to McDonald's. And of course, it includes the macros. So for protein, I typically tend to eat eggs, ground turkey, chicken, and then every now and then I'll eat some type of beef tri-tip. For my carbs, I have oats in the morning and then either sweet potato or baked potato or rice. And then for fats, I eat avocados, nuts, butter, and some types of oils, like when I have a salad. So maybe a Italian dressing or something like that.
Really great choices right there. I want to say, just you mentioned something that, as far as your protein is concerned, you said beef tri-tip.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to the listeners what tri-tip is and where it's primarily found in the United States? Is it something that's eaten in California a lot, or do they eat it in other regions?
It is eaten in California. I've traveled to other areas and mentioned tri-tip, and they look at you a little bit different. So there's other areas of the nation, they're not as it's not as available as in California. So yes, we eat tri-tip here in California, and it's beef. Yeah, I don't eat it that often. I don't eat beef as often. It just doesn't digest as well as chicken or turkey would digest. It's not as heavy. Those two aren't as heavy as the beef. So, but every now and then I will, yeah.
You mentioned about the protein and also having your oats and nuts, but everybody has their vices from time to time. What are your favorite cheat meals?
So my favorite cheat meal, the meal that I have to have after a competition, is breakfast. I love breakfast. So breakfast is a go-to for me. But then also, you know, if I don't feel like breakfast, the other go-to would be nachos. So those are probably my two favorites, breakfast and nachos.
What do you like on your nachos?
Meat, so carne asada, cheese, avocados, salsa. Yeah. Just about the whole, everything offered, except I don't like sour cream, so I'm not a sour cream person. And I don't like onions too much. So, yeah, I'm a pretty picky eater.
Okay, very interesting. I mean, I know I love nachos myself, and I love sour cream, you know, but as they say, to each his own, though, whatever makes you happy and however you like your nachos, it's fine with me. But I want to move along now to another part of the whole lifestyle that you have. We talked about nutrition and we talked about training, but vitamins and supplements, you know, they're very important part of what your lifestyle is and just what people are trying to achieve in everyday life. What vitamins and supplements do you take?
They are very important. So I am a vitamin taker. I make sure that I load up on vitamins, especially when I'm in season, because, you know, I don't get as many nutrients through the food when I'm limited. But some of the ones that I take, of course, I take a multivitamin, B12 and magnesium, fish oil. And then, you know, when COVID hit, I made sure to load up on vitamin C, on zinc, on elderberry. So those things that would help my immune system. I also have an immune powder that I will add to my protein drink. So immune powder and then a fiber powder, because gut health is really important. And then, you know, I have my animal-based protein that I take. And then the only other things that I do for supplements is creatine and my post-workout drink that's called Aftershock. And the Aftershock has protein, it has carbs, it has glutamine, it has the amino acids, it has some creatine in there. So it helped me to recover from my workout. So that's a go-to for sure. Yeah.
You mentioned about recovery after your workouts. I want to stay just with the recovery side of things. I know what you do in terms of lifting weights, and also, too, when you're getting those workouts, and the recovery is extremely important. And I want to ask you about, have you ever had an opportunity to get into acupuncture or any type of other post-recovery methods in order to make your muscles recover quickly so that you can get ready for your next workouts, for the next day?
So I do not do acupuncture. The one thing that I make sure, so as you mentioned in the beginning, I'm a personal trainer, and one of my specializations is in corrective exercise. So one of the things that is so important and that I make sure that I do is I do SMR, which is self-myofascial release, and that's through foam rolling. And then also stretching. So I make sure that my muscles, when they're overactive or tight, I make sure that I loosen them up and then lengthen them. And that helps tremendously, because if they're tight, you know, if you're working out and you're contracting all the time, or if you have some type of muscle imbalance and you're contracting certain muscles and you have other weak muscles that don't want to activate or fire, you need to loosen up the overactive muscles. So I make sure to foam roll and stretch often, so that way my body will move in the proper alignment in the way that it needs to. Otherwise, if I don't, then eventually an injury can occur. So I need to make sure that it's loose and lengthened. So that, and then when I have really, really rough, hard leg workouts, I'll do like Epsom salt baths, you know, things like that. Magnesium is also good to help with recovery. So I take magnesium at night. It also helps you sleep better and deeper. So that's something else that I do.
Can't go wrong with the magnesium. And that supplement works wonders. And you mentioned about sleep and also great for recovery. So if you're listening out there, please get a hold of magnesium. You can't go wrong with that. And you mentioned about being a personal trainer. Exactly. And you mentioned about being a personal trainer. I'm looking at some of your information on your bio. You are a certified personal trainer through the NASM. Can you explain to the listeners what the NASM is all about and how do you become certified through them?
Yes. So NASM is, they're science-based. So it's National Academy of Sports Medicine, and it's science-based. So you basically, to become certified through them, the initial certification for to be a trainer, you'd study, you'd take the course, and then you'd go to a proctor, and you'd have to pass the class. So that's the initial. The specializations and the credits that you have to renew every 2 years, they do have online courses that you could take. And then before COVID, they used to have their summits and those sorts of things that you could go to for conferences to get your credits. So you have to renew every 2 years. You take different courses. You can get, nutrition or behavior change or corrective exercise. They have a bodybuilding course. So they have a wide range of classes, but it's supposed to be one of the best personal trainer schools. The way that they teach and that you learn, they have a process. So it makes it a little bit easier to create plans and to help your clients and to know, like, for instance, corrective exercises, assessments and different things that you can see and tell what's wrong with the person, and then you know how to correct it. So it's science-based, and that's the difference between that one and some of the other ones.
Congratulations on getting your certification with that. And I want to go now into, segue now into what you do as being a personal trainer. So what's your personal training business all about and what services it provides?
So I train a wide variety of different people with different goals, different ages. I have some competitors that I help prepare them for stage, and she got it in bikini. I train older people. I have some younger people and, people who want to lose weight. And then you have people who just want to get in shape or people who just want to be healthy. They want to chase their grandkids, or some people who they need help with their balance. So it's different for everyone. I don't do cookie cutter online training. I do offer online training as well as in-person training. I'm a specific specialized type of trainer. I want to make sure that person reaches their goals and that we do what we need to do for their specific body.
Good to hear it, and it's great what you're doing with your clients from all walks of life. And we talked about the diet side of things earlier, and I want to get to food deserts. We know food deserts have been a problem for a long time, people not getting the access to good quality food, the produce, fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. Are food deserts a problem in Fresno? And if so, how do you tackle on this problem of food deserts in terms of making sure your clients get access to good quality food?
I don't think it's too much of a problem for my clients. But here lately, you know, with the way that the economy is and the prices are sky high, there's certain things, especially in California, that we're dealing with. So, for instance, you know, eggs are sky high. So that's one of the challenging things for, you know, my clients. They're like, I went to the store to get, you know, 5 dozen eggs. The prices are so expensive, you know, which is outrageous right now. So I think that is more of the issue that people here deal with, is the prices are so expensive for things that didn't used to be that expensive. You know, protein and fruits and vegetables are more expensive. It's harder to get and come by. I think that's more of the issue that we're having. I think it's just a matter of knowing resources, where to go and how to get them. You know, and then knowing what alternatives you can use instead of the, you know, certain people are used to specific things and there are certain things that they like, but then, you know, you can change it up and something else might be more readily available.
That's just very important, even with these, as you mentioned, with these tough economic times, no matter where you are, man, just people are doing the best that they can with what they have, and hopefully they can continue to maintain a living a healthier lifestyle, what you're doing with your clients and what you're doing in your career as well. So you heard it from us. She is Nicole Higgins. She is a fitness professional. And Nicole, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
So my handle is the same for Facebook, Instagram, including my website. It's Nicole, the Fitness Pro. That's Nicole, thefitnesspro.com. And then, of course, at Nicole, the Fitness Pro on Facebook and Instagram. So that's where they can find me.
All right. Tell everybody one more time, Nicole, where they can find you on social media and the website.
Okay. So Nicole, the Fitness Pro, is Nicole, the Fitness Pro, P-R-O. And the website is .com, of course. And then Instagram, the handle is at Nicole, the Fitness Pro. And Facebook is at Nicole, the Fitness Pro. So they're all the same. It's easy to find.
Awesome. You heard it from her. She is Nicole Higgins. Check her out on the website at NicoleTheFitnessPro.com and also on the other social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Nicole, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much again. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we'll be back with more right after this.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nicole Higgins, personal trainer and fitness professional from Fresno, California. Again, a big special thank you to Nicole for coming on the program to just talk about her upbringing, her fitness journey, and becoming a licensed personal trainer, amongst other things. And until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.